Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Friday morning, December 20th. Hope your day is going well. Appreciate you being here, and we've got a great show for you lined up, as always. Thanks to my stellar producer, Andrew Kruchek. We did something really fun in the first hour of the program, and you can go back and listen to it on the archives at AveMariaRadio.net, or maybe even tune in next week and put it on as you're getting busy around the house and doing things for the Christmas holiday. But haven't done it in a long time, and Andrew said, why don't we go back and do another Christmas music special? So what we did was we pulled some of my favorite Christmas carols and Christmas music, and I gave you a little description of the different songs and also what they mean to me. So in case you want to go back and listen, it will be archived today at AveMariaRadio.net. Excited about the show today. Look forward to chatting with Doug Keck, of course, our President and Chief Operating Officer. He will give us the update on all the amazing Christmas programming that they're going to be doing this week. It's going to be fabulous, including covering the opening of the Holy Doors in Rome, which will take place at St. Peter's Basilica on Christmas Eve, ushering in the Year of Hope, the Jubilee Year 2025. We'll also get the latest on the beautiful Mass that was held yesterday in Hansville, Alabama, celebrating 25 years of Mother Angelica's Blessed Sacrament Shrine. How amazing. So we'll talk about that with Doug. And then, after that, Fact Check Friday. So there's this new report that came out. It's actually a big, huge, huge story. It's not being covered by everyone, of course, because of the content, but at least in some of the legacy media, they are picking it up. But they should have done this a long time ago. There is a report, an investigative report that was done by the Wall Street Journal concerning Joe Biden's health. And from early on in his presidency, the White House staffers and people in the inside circle, as well as plenty of other people, including those in the media, knew that the president was really struggling. And they hid it. And to me, that is just awful. That is, in my personal opinion, elder abuse, but also it's a dereliction of duty on the part of not only the White House staff, but also on the part of the media. Where were they? Why weren't they reporting on this? Of course, because of the president's condition, they should have been concerned and reported it to the American people, because the American people have a right to know what the most powerful man in the world, in terms of what he's capable of, what he's not capable of. And yet they basically also agreed to run circles around the White House and circle the wagons and protect this lie that they put before us. And it's very sad. And really, it is elder abuse. I don't know what else to call it. How much did they know and when? And then when the story broke after the disastrous debate earlier this year, then the media took the talking points on the left and said, okay, now we have to move to get him out and put in someone else. And then they rallied around, obviously, the vice president. But where was the investigative reporting? Why weren't they challenging those in the White House? Why weren't they asking more questions? And why were they basically canceling, especially on social media, anyone who spoke out saying, well, there are concerns here? People have a right to know. And even just for the sake of you're just looking at someone's health and their day-to-day lives, that should have been addressed. So we'll discuss that. Another huge failure on the part of the media, not doing their jobs and misrepresenting a situation in the White House that was very dire early on. Father Mitch and I talked about this yesterday in our cultural connections in terms of how the Catechism teaches us that we are not supposed to put forth lies and false narratives, right? Ten Commandments there. Wrapping up with a discussion on couple prayer, my friend Ken Castell from the Archdiocese of Detroit will be joining us. And we will talk about a few events that they're doing outside of Michigan. It's based here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, but they are national and international and can come to a diocese near you for couple prayer. We'll also take a look back at the year of 2024 and the success of the couple prayer program. Thanks be to God. Weather-wise, the National Weather Service is saying we have areas of moderate to heavy snow and gusty to very high winds expected across the upper Midwest and Great Lakes into the morning, and then light to moderate snow with locally higher amounts that will develop over parts of the Great Lakes, the Central Appalachian Mountains, and Northeast. And this will go on into tomorrow. So keep that in mind if you're traveling for the upcoming Christmas holiday. 5 minutes past the hour now. It is a Friday, December 20th, 2024. Let's get started with the news and this newscast and program brought to you by our friends at houseofjoppa.com. Well, speaking of the president, Joe Biden will be meeting with the Pope next month at the Vatican in what's likely to be his last international trip as president. The White House saying yesterday Joe Biden accepted the Pope's invitation to Rome. Biden also plans to meet with Italian President Sergio Mattarella and Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. His audience with the Pope is set for January 10th, focusing on efforts to advance peace around the world. And the Catholic News Agency also telling us the trip announcement came following a Thursday telephone conversation between the Pope and Joe Biden, during which the two leaders discussed efforts to advance peace around the world during the holiday season. That is according to a statement released yesterday by the White House. The Pope, meanwhile, has criticized Joe Biden in the past for his promotion of legalized abortion as a Catholic, calling it an incoherence in a 2022 interview. The U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear a six-year-old case about whether South Carolina can prevent Medicaid funds from covering non-abortion services at Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities. Catholic News Agency explaining on Wednesday the justices announced they would take the case in their 2024-25 term. The case stems from a lawsuit Planned Parenthood filed back in 2018 after Governor Henry McMaster blocked abortion facilities from receiving those funds through an executive order. Under federal law, federal Medicaid funds cannot be used to pay for abortion unless the life of the mother is at risk or the pregnancy results from rape or incest. However, federal law does allow those funds to pay for other services at abortion facilities. The court's ruling will determine whether states can prevent those funds from covering non-abortion services at the abortion clinics. Natalie Migliori tells us the world's largest menorah is going on display in New York City, and that will happen today.
Standing at 36 feet, one of the world's premier menorahs will be up on 59th Street and 5th Avenue across from the Plaza Hotel, which will be lit each night of Hanukkah from December 25th to January 1st. Organizers say the menorah will brighten the city during this fraught time for Jews due to a rise in anti-Semitism and war in Israel. The annual New York City tradition is part of the worldwide Hanukkah Awareness Campaign, an initiative first launched in 1973.
Republicans are trying to come up with a new plan to avoid a looming government shutdown after dozens of GOP lawmakers joined Democrats in voting down a revised government funding bill. Texas Republican Congressman Chip Roy wants more federal spending cuts.
I want appropriators and leadership, who are always the ones who are obstacles to actually cutting spending, to pony up and explain why they won't agree to the spending cuts that we said we should put in place.
And Tennessee Republican Representative Tim Burchett says a spending bill should be in place by now.
We're elected to pass a budget. That is what we're constitutionally mandated. The one thing we're actually in the dadgum Constitution is a budget, and we abdicate that duty every time.
After the vote, House Speaker Mike Johnson telling reporters Republicans would regroup and come up with another solution. A U.S. delegation arriving in Syria to meet with the rebels who toppled the Assad regime in Damascus. The State Department says a delegation led by senior official Barbara Leaf is expected to meet with members of the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham rebel group who are acting as the government of Syria following the overthrow earlier this month of dictator Bashar al-Assad. A spokesperson says their discussions are expected to focus on U.S. expectations of an inclusive Syrian government, and information about U.S. journalist Austin Tice and other Americans disappeared during the Assad regime. New York authorities charging Luigi Mangione with murder. The man suspected of killing a top health insurance CEO was also charged yesterday with stalking and using a weapon equipped with a silencer. The federal complaint claims the suspect traveled to New York City for the purpose of stalking and killing Brian Thompson back on December 4th. And again, the House is rejecting the latest spending bill that would avert a government shutdown. We'll keep watching that story for you. There's new developments this morning. If there's anything before 10 a.m. this morning, we will keep you updated. Fannie Willis has been removed from the Georgia election case against President-elect Trump. Trump has consistently predicted this would happen.
See, when a system works, it's a beautiful thing. But she's been exposed. I can't imagine they can continue on with that case.
A state's court approving the removing the Fulton County District Court Attorney from Trump's 2020 election interference case Thursday. Earlier this year, Trump's lawyer asking for Willis to be disqualified from that case over her relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott is unveiling a new border strategy. It includes billboards that are being posted in South and Central America.
One says many girls who try to migrate to Texas are kidnapped.
He says those billboards that are posted closer to the border warn of jail time for those caught crossing into the state of Texas. They also highlight what will happen under the incoming Trump administration. They'll be in Spanish, but the governor says some will also be in Chinese, Russian, and Arabic. He called it tough medicine. There are new details about the death of an alleged unruly cruise ship passenger off the coast of Los Angeles. Daniel Martindale has the story.
The 35-year-old man died last Friday shortly after the Royal Caribbean cruise ship, the Navigator of the Seas, set sail from the port of Los Angeles bound for Ensenada. Crew members detained the man after he allegedly became belligerent and started chasing other passengers. A cell phone video shows him leaning against a cabin door and repeatedly kicking it before being restrained with zip ties. One passenger tells KTTV the man was drunk and threatening to kill people. Family members of the man who died believe he was injected with a sedative, which they say killed him within an hour. The FBI and the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner are investigating the death.
The FAA temporarily banning drones over New York's critical infrastructure sites. The announcement yesterday comes after similar bans over parts of New Jersey. The New York governor saying the ban is purely precautionary. Unidentified drone sightings have been rampant over the region in recent weeks, causing concern among many residents. The federal government has said they have found no threat to national security. And Sarah Lee Kessler tells us if you're heading east, especially to the Big Apple area, bundle up because it's looking like there's going to be some mighty cold weather.
Meteorologists are forecasting Arctic temperatures just in time for the winter solstice. The National Weather Service is predicting a dusting of snow, maybe even an inch, starting Friday into early Saturday before the solstice arrives at 4:21 a.m. Wake-up weather will be in the low 30s, but on Sunday, the Arctic Express arrives, with temps dropping into the mid-20s. So forecasters are advising us to bundle up this weekend.
And drivers are getting a little bit of a break at the gas pump as they set out on their holiday road trips. AAA reporting the national average price for a gallon of regular grade fuel is $3.05. That's up by 2 cents from a week ago, but the near low for the year. And this Kansas City area driver says that's good news for families.
I bet they'll be spending a lot on their kids too. So traveling, gifts, food, you know, family coming over, that takes a lot.
An estimated 119 million are expected to travel during the Christmas season, 107 million of them by car. And the Christmas rush at the airport underway. TSA spokesperson Patty Mancha says they predict that holiday travel will exceed what was seen during Thanksgiving, which set records. She says that some of the top brass will be working the security lanes alongside the rank and file to make sure travelers get on their way safely. This comes again as the eastern U.S. is set to deal with freezing weather, as you just heard, beginning this weekend. And finding our news segment at almost 14 minutes past the hour on a Friday in the third week of Advent. This weekend, as Bree Tennis tells us, will be filled with power shopping. Well, and also that's why it's called Panic Saturday.
If you're shopping now, you're most likely a bit desperate to put something under the tree. It's called panic shopping for us, but lucrative for retailers. That's why they call it Super Saturday. Catherine Cullen with the National Retail Federation says watch for tricks to get you to buy. Dim lighting, happy music, and discounts on stuff you don't really want. She says before you head out, make a plan, have a list, and show no fear.
It is a Friday morning, 14 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Friday here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, will give us a great overview of what's coming up and also looking back at a very special day yesterday, the anniversary, 25th anniversary of Mother Angelica's Blessed Sacrament Shrine. They had a beautiful Mass yesterday as well. We'll be right back.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Hello, I'm Marian Kowarski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
ProLife Across America, the billboard people.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
It's been a great year chatting with Doug Keck, our president and chief operating officer, every Friday for the Inside Word. Doug, I can't believe we're coming to the end of 2024. So the next time you'll be on live with me in particular will be gobbling on the 17th, a week before the March for Life, because we have obviously the holidays, and then I'll be on the Good News Cruise. But thank you so much for all of your great updates and overviews and the great program. But I wanted to say congratulations on 25 years, because yesterday was a very, very big day, celebrating the anniversary, 25th anniversary of Mother Angelica's Blessed Sacrament Shrine. How was that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was beautiful. I could say that I certainly had the pleasure of being there when it was opened. I was there at that event. I can't believe it was 25 years ago.
Wow.
I don't want to say it seems like yesterday, but maybe it seems like last week. And that was a powerful event with Mother there and the sisters and all the emotion. And this, I think, Father Joseph and the friars and the sisters did a great job of recapturing that. And I know Peter Gagnon and Steve Beaumont and the entire team worked very, very hard for a long time to pull that off and make it as impressive as it was.
Wow, beautiful. 25 years. That is absolutely amazing. We are now almost in the Christmas season, entering into the fourth week of Advent, and I can only imagine, of course, the Jubilee year being beginning on Christmas Eve,
right.
December 24th, with the opening of the Holy Doors at St. Peter's. Give us a preview of what we can expect.
Well, obviously, we've got our normal Christmas programming coming up. Carols by Candlelight from the Knox Shrine is new, and that'll be on tonight. So tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern, I wanted to mention that because that's kind of special. A lot of people will be interested in that. We've got, obviously, other great programs. Tomorrow we've got Catholic U, the typical. We always have their Christmas concert from Washington, D.C. That's always popular, 10 p.m. Eastern time, and that's tomorrow night. And there'll be some other in-concerts and other Christmas music and, of course, the EWTN Family Christmas Special. So I wanted to get that in there on Sunday night. That we've always gotten great feedback from that at 6 p.m. That's our choir, and people love our choir. And Mother Angelica specials, and then there's, of course, on, as you indicated, Christmas Eve, we will have the Mass of the Nativity of Our Lord and the opening of the Holy Door. And that will be live on Christmas Eve at 1 p.m. Eastern time, okay, from St. Peter's Basilica. So if you're looking to catch that live, it's going to be in the afternoon, of course, because of the time differences.
Right.
And we've got choral meditations from the Shrine in Washington as well, and the Solemn Mass of Christmas Eve, Midnight Mass, which we have from the Basilica in Washington as well. And then we've got a Midnight Mass from the Holy Land. People may want to check that out as well. And that was one I'm pretty sure was canceled last year with everything that was going on, but it's back again. You can't keep a good Christian down, even during times, tough times, right? And the Urbi et Orbi message, of course, will also be there of the Christmas. That one's particularly the Christmas message versus the New Year's message. And then, of course, we got our Christmas masses. And then, as you alluded to, as we roll into January, not only do we have the Solemnity of the Mother of God, but we have the also the Mass of the opening of the Holy Door for the Basilica of St. Mary Major. That will be on the 11th at 11 a.m. I'm sorry, it will be live on, I think it's on January 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So we can look for that. And then we all have the big Sikh event we'll be covering.
Yeah,
live
that's
coverage
huge.
From Sikh. You know, that's the focus group. And that'll be running the first week of January. Check that out. And so, as you indicated, I wanted to just make the point to follow up on what you actually asked me, which is that, yes, we'll have complete coverage of all the major events and the other events. Obviously, news will be covering on a regular basis. Our production team will be covering in a Rome office for those major events. There's jubilees throughout the year, as you know, for specific groups, and we're covering all of those, as we are, of course, with the March for Life coming up on in D.C. and the West Coast.
The 24th. January 24th, so shortly after the inauguration. So that'll be, I think it'll be a very interesting March for Life this year with the new administration. And
well, certainly.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as much as there can be some disappointment in certain areas, there certainly has to be an incredible powerful, upbeat feeling that things are moving in the right direction here. The defeat down in Florida of that particular amendment, the fact that you have a much more pro-life administration coming in, and certainly family-friendly, which is a big part of what we're talking about here, especially in the pro-life movement. We're really talking about family orientation.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that CNA had a really good story yesterday regarding Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he said he is willing to consider the Mexico City policy, reinstating that, and that he's open to those ideas and willing to talk to pro-lifers, which would be much different if there were other people in office.
Well, that's the thing. I think we can, again, have wished for something better in certain places on certain particular issues, and people may be great on other issues that people are very excited about. But we have to deal with what the reality is. I know somebody said that the Russians always talk about the idea that, you know, we're not comparing ourselves to, we have to compare ourselves to what the actual other alternative is, not what we wish it was, effectively. And I think many times people get caught up in comparing things the way they are to the way I wish it was, rather than what the actual other alternative was at the time, and you have to make the best decision. And I think there's some great opportunities for fine-tuning in this administration, much more, as you indicated, from having the door slammed. At least you get in the door and you get to talk, and it will be, obviously, there will be many, many pro-life people throughout this administration, and many, many Catholics who are at least much more pro-life than in the past. The joke used to be anytime you heard somebody in the Senate was a Catholic, you figured they were pro-choice, pro-abortion, because that was, they were coming out of the Northeast or out of California or someplace like that, or Illinois, and you knew that was what they were coming from. And now it's different.
I think also, too, we have to remember, as you just said, Doug, I mean, I look at Scripture and you see how God writes straight with crooked lines, and we're not going to get a perfect candidate ever. And I think, again, being willing to work with people is having a foot in the door. And there are some very, very positive things and some, as you said, not so positive things. But I think there's a relationship and a willingness to work together.
Right. And again, I think, like with everything, we don't make the perfect the enemy of the good. We take the good and then we work towards the perfect. That's what we are as fallen creatures. If our Lord was only looking for perfect people, he would have gave up on all of us a long time ago. And Father Groeschel used to say, if you ever find a perfect church, run, because it's not true.
Right.
It's not perfect because there's people in it. The church itself and the entity and the idea and the Holy Spirit may be perfect, but it's populated by plenty of original sin running through the halls.
And that's what I'm so grateful for, all the work you do at EWTN and your team to remind us of that through the lives of the saints especially.
Absolutely. That's one of the major components, I think, of EWTN programming, and we came to understand, along with the Eucharist was and the devotions, was the uniqueness of the saints, having this brotherhood, you know, of the church triumphant out there, these people who could show us the way, and understanding the connection for 2,000 years, how these people lived their lives of faith throughout all different time periods, all different oppressions, you know, whether it was you know, definitely the people showing up at your door arresting you because you were Catholic or Christian, or bringing you to the Colosseum, or just even, you know, his mother would say, white martyrdom, where there was kind of political oppressions, kind of like what we have had recently here, which I think we're feeling like that's kind of lifting a little bit, the idea that you hear people buying more Bibles, you hear people talking more about their faith in public, you hear it
saying Merry Christmas.
Internet.
Right.
Right, exactly, because people, that's what they want to do, but they've felt constrained either by being made to feel guilty that they're making other people feel bad, or that they're afraid that they were going to be woked out.
Well, be not afraid, right?
Absolutely.
That's what our Lord said in John Paul II. Hey, listen, Merry Christmas. Happy New
Year.
Look forward, God willing, to talking to you again in January. It's been great, and look forward to more segments of Inside Insider Word with Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer. We'll be right back.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
What is conversion? The Catholic Catechism says there are two kinds of conversions. The first is baptism, which removes original sin and washes away all other sin. The second is the conversion of the heart from sin to the merciful love of God. It is Jesus who calls us to this conversion. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. A perfect example of this conversion is St. Peter, who, after denying his master three times, burst into tears of repentance. St. Ambrose describes the two conversions as the water and tears, the water of baptism and the tears of repentance. Jesus' call to conversion is not first and foremost to outward penance, such as sackcloth and ashes, but to an interior conversion of the heart, without which penances are sterile and futile. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate, because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Our last Fact Check Friday for 2024. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. I started doing this several years ago. I think it was during the 2016 or 2020 election. I can't remember, but just to, you know, fact check some of the stories that were out there. And then we built it up based on the popular demand, so they speak. Lots of nice feedback on it, just to kind of keep people educated on the media. And as Archbishop Chaput used to always say, we need to know how the media work so they don't work on us. But speaking of media, how about some good media? In addition to all the great things Doug Keck just told us about that are coming up on our special Christmas programming and our New Year's programming, and of course the programming for the upcoming Jubilee year, which will begin with the opening of the Holy Doors on Christmas Eve with the Holy Father, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. There are a number of really good podcasts. Now, EW10 actually has a whole list of these, and they've gathered the best Catholic podcasts around, so you want to keep that in mind. And I was on a podcast yesterday. It was taped, and it will be broadcast or uploaded, I should say, for next Friday. So a week from today, if you want to see something fun. I don't know if you're familiar with this amazing priest. You probably are, because he's getting pretty popular on the Internet. He's from the Diocese of Lansing, and his name is Father Joe Krupp. He is not only a wonderful pastor and just a great teacher and preacher, he serves as our MC every year on the Good News Cruise, and he's just so hilarious. Now, he was a comedy writer in secular media for a while, speaking of media, and he has not lost that talent for the one-liners or the quick wit. And I was just blessed to be on his podcast yesterday. We taped it in southeastern Michigan with corporate travel services offices because, of course, corporate travel does all of our traveling events in the Good News Cruise, goodnewscruise.com. So that is going to be uploaded and available for viewing on YouTube and on Joe and Black Ministries, which is his Facebook page. And you can find him on various social media outlets on X and whatnot, and again on Facebook. So it was really fun. Talked about a lot of things. We talked about the Good News Cruise, and Deacon Dom was there with me. We talked a little bit about our journey back to the Catholic Church. We talked about Italy, the new book, Shrines and Wonders, coming out in January from EWTN, and just had a great time and just shared a lot of thoughts on the Catholic Church today and our own journeys, me, Dom, and Father Joe, back into or into the Catholic faith. So that will be available on YouTube, also on some social media outlets, including his Facebook page and on X as well. That's Joe in Black Ministries and Father Joe Krupp, again, from the Diocese of Lansing. He's a pastor. He's a preacher. He's a teacher. And he is a hoot and a half. He keeps everybody literally in stitches and rolling in the aisles on the cruise ships because he's so funny. I mean, just so quick-witted and just a joy. And remember JOY, an acronym, Jesus First, Other Second, Yourself Last. Okay. For Fact Check Friday, I just find this so sad on so many levels. Now, so many people, and Doug Keck and I were talking about this story during the break about 15 minutes ago before we went on the air with our Inside Word edition for this Friday. People could see this, and people knew. And it's the same thing with some of these so-called leftist economic pundits. These commentators are saying, hey, don't look at your grocery bill. Don't look at what butter costs or cereal or milk. That's not real. Things are really great. Things are going really well. Don't believe it. So basically lying to us when we're at the cash register and having to fork over more money, struggling to pay bills, many families having to make some choices on what kind of food they're going to feed their children because the bills are so high. So basically insulting our intelligence. These so-called experts in the media went right along with it for the most part. And they did the same with, unfortunately, Joe Biden's condition. There is a whopping report out, and as Doug and I were talking, there's a lot of stories coming out at the end of the year, and they often do this. That's the news cycle. Things get slow at the end of the year, and they start looking back. But the fact that we are having a new administration that will be starting, obviously, in January, the inauguration on the 20th of January, there is quite an alarming report that is being released and basically telling us that, yet again, what we suspected and what was actually pretty obvious and very sad, I thought, that they were allowing this to go on. And just for the sake of the president, his own health, they should have put an end to this earlier in terms of maybe just stopped him from activity and maybe put the vice president. I don't know. I'm not a political expert. I'm just saying that it was very sad. And having dealt with parents who struggled, my father struggled with Parkinson's greatly toward the end of his life. And he didn't have dementia, but there was a little bit of problems in terms of a cognitive slowdown because of the Parkinson's and a heart condition. And it's tough when people get older. And we need to take care of them. And this was not fair to the president, nor was it fair to the American people, not to be honest about his condition. So this is the New York Post reporting on this big study that was done by a report that was issued by the Wall Street Journal. White House aides covered up President Biden's apparent mental decline from day one of his presidency, shielding the aging commander-in-chief from the public and even rearranging his schedule after several sad performances. And this is according to, again, this explosive report that came out yesterday. The lack of access to the nation's oldest ever president, the report says, was well known in Washington, with Biden hosting the fewest large press conferences in modern history and frequently descending into gaffes at the podium when he appeared. But how much the White House made up for the haziness had until now been hidden, according to aides, Democratic lawmakers, and donors who spoke with the Wall Street Journal. Presidential staff formed a tight shell around Joe Biden after he took office amid the COVID-19 pandemic, with staff immediately limiting his in-person interactions back in 2021. But staffers, the report says, also began making adjustments to daily plans when the president appeared tired or kept stumbling on the world stage, both figuratively, the report says, and literally. By the spring of 2021, meetings are being rescheduled to accommodate what his aides and the White House staff called good days and bad days. According to the Wall Street Journal, a national security official told an aide at the time, he has good days and bad days, and today was a bad day, so we're going to address this tomorrow. Now, what's so sad about this on so many levels is that the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, also kept denying this publicly, and she was peppered with questions by those from some conservative outlets at the daily press briefings. So for the most part, even when there was a very, very sad display of his condition, this was earlier this year, if you remember, in June at the G7 summit in southern Italy, and he was standing there with other leaders, and they were watching these Italian paratroopers descend onto the site of the summit. And you saw several leaders, including the head of France and a few others, leaders from Germany, standing behind Giorgia Meloni. And President Biden just wanders off, seeming very, very confused. And she has to politely and, you know, very calmly go over and grab his arm and pull him back. It was very sad, very sad. And you know what the White House press secretary said? That was a cheap fake video, a deep fake video. That wasn't real. Everybody saw it. And the media didn't even challenge her, again, with the exception of a few reporters from conservative outlets. I mean, anybody who has ever watched this was aware of it, if they would admit it to themselves. And yet they tried to keep it secret, and the media helped them. It was a huge dereliction of duty, not only on the part of those around the president, for his own health, as an elderly man truly struggling. But the media should have done this, their job, to report and let the people decide. They failed miserably. And now some of the commentators saying, oh, oopsie, I guess we should have said something. You think? Just very, very sad and dangerous, not only for the president, but for the country, not knowing the full truth of his condition. We knew, but then again, we didn't know. But we should have. We'll be right back.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa."
This communion with Jesus and with one another, that being united to him and abiding in him, that is the indispensable condition for bearing fruit. That's why our Lord says back in John 15, verse 5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." If you're not united to Christ, you're not going to do anything for him. So communion with Jesus, our Savior, focusing on him and getting to know him and be known by him, that is what makes it possible for us to bear fruit as Christians. And communion with others is the most magnificent fruit that the branches can give. That's one of the things that he's looking for from us, that we have a communion with one another, that we have a love and a concern. Does it mean we agree with one another? Not necessarily.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
"Christ is the Answer" with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
40 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Friday morning. Tomorrow, winter begins. And just talking to my friend Ken Castell here in southeastern Michigan, where we are based. It's actually very pretty. We have some light snow coming down, very Christmassy looking, and hoping that it won't be anything major because they're worried about people traveling today. So be safe, be careful, and give yourself some extra time. Ken Castell from Couple Prayer joining us, a beautiful ministry that's based in the Archdiocese of Detroit, but has now expanded not only to around the country, but around the world. And Kenny, it's been quite a year for Couple Prayer. So let's look back, shall we? Let's go down memory lane. How have you grown, do you think, in the last year? Ken, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, T. Thanks for having me always. I think the most significant event of the past year was when we were invited to the Diocese of Dallas, Texas, to lead the full six-week series down there, invited by Father Eugene O'Donnell from Holy Family of Nazareth in Irving, Texas. And his vision was to bring potential facilitating couples from throughout the Diocese of Dallas to attend the series, and then we equipped them with all the materials that they needed to take the series back to their parish to facilitate it there. Father Eugene led the series when he was a transitional deacon the year before, and he saw the impact it had on couples, and he was so moved by that that he said, this can change the world, you know, one couple, one parish, one diocese at a time. We just got to figure out how to reach all the people. So he put it together. He got the bishop's approval to bring us down there, and we did, and it was extraordinary. We had 45 couples, a number of them from neighboring parishes, and they took it back. We gave them facilitator materials, and they took it back. So that was probably the most significant step that we made last year. Just with the series alone, we reached face-to-face over 260 couples between series done throughout Dallas and then back here in Michigan, dinner talks, engaged couple programs that we're involved in through the Archdiocese of Detroit and our local parish here. So face-to-face with 260, and then, you know, gosh, another, I don't even count them up, you know, 60, 70 DVD sets that people purchased to actually do the series at home on their own or to, you know, lead it in their parish or their small group. So it's been a good year. It's a year of continuing growth.
I was just going to say the global. Go ahead. But it's just amazing the growth you've seen. I know that Deacon Bob is smiling down on us. But let's talk about the global impact, Kenny, if you would.
Yeah. And a lot of the global happened even before we got involved. Under the tremendous leadership of Deacon Bob Ovius and his wife, Kathy, Couple Prayer series that we know of is in at least 11 different countries. We've had it, translated, the daily prayer exercises, at the request of a priest from Cameroon. It's been translated into French. We've also got the series fully translated in a facilitator form in Spanish. But 11 different countries around the world, from Pakistan to Ireland. It's just mind-boggling how this program, begun here in southeast Michigan under, again, the leadership of Bob and Kathy, grew to reach, you know, ends of the earth. It's extraordinary.
I love the website, what it says at the bottom, generations will reap what you sow in Couple Prayer. I can't even say how true that is, because you mentioned this is changing the world, and it sounds, very pie in the sky, maybe, or, you know, a starry-eyed view of the world. But when you think about it, you know, what did John Paul II say? Pope St. John Paul II said, you know, the way of the family, the way the family goes, the world goes. And that is so true. And I don't think sometimes we take that too lightly. We think, oh, yeah, right, whatever, that sounds great. But can that really be true? But it is.
It is. And you know, Saint John Paul, said, you know, the way of the future, the way of the world goes through the family, but the family starts with the couple. And that's what we try to stress is, you know, you got to put your priorities in life have got to be God first, spouse second, then the kids and everything else that we need our attention. But if you get that right order in place, God first, spouse second, everything else follows. It will follow properly. And generations will reap what you sow. You know, the kids that grow up seeing mom and dad praying together on a regular basis will likely at least have a better chance of incorporating that into their marriages, which will in turn impact the grandkids. And even if it skips a generation, our grandchildren know full well what we are up to in our retirement years. They know how much couple prayer matters to Signe and I. So they, even if the parents aren't on board, some of them are, some of them aren't, but if they aren't on board with daily prayer together as a couple, the grandkids can see that, wow, Nana and Papa have got something going here that my friend's parents don't seem to have. One of our grandsons, years ago, we were visiting them in Sicily when they were stationed there, he turned to Signe, we were sitting on the couch, and he says, Nana, how do you and Papa do that? And like, okay, where's it going here? So Signe asked him, well, what do you mean, Adam? And he said, how do you and Papa love each other so well?
Aww.
He was like 7 years old.
Yeah.
But he noticed the difference.
He sensed it.
That's how generations reap what you sow, by modeling what the love of Christ, what a Christocentric marriage can do to your relationship.
Who wrote the summary at the bottom? I never noticed this before. I mean, maybe I glanced at it, but who wrote this summary, Generations of Reap What You Sow, on the website, coupleprayer.com? It's awesome.
Yeah, Bob and Kathy. It is
of course.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
We passed that out as one of the handouts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, almost everything on that website is Bob's creation. The entire series is Bob's creation. We've tweaked it a bit to put in some personal testimony. But this is Bob and Kathy's work. It's extraordinary. And that's why we haven't changed it. I mean, it's too good to mess with. Some of the stuff on the website, some of Bob's writings are extraordinary.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me just read a couple of lines from this, Kenny, because it's so beautiful. Good. By the way, if you're just joining us on a Friday morning, 46 minutes past the hour, December 20th, having a great conversation with Ken Castell. He and his wife, Signe, run Couple Prayer. It's based in Michigan, but as he just explained, they're all over the country and around the world, coupleprayer.com. is a website. So this is a summary on the website talking about how it is for you, but it's also for generations to come under the subject matter, Generations Will Reap What You Sow in Couple Prayer. Consider again that generations will be involved in your commitment to pray together on a regular basis as a couple joined in Jesus Christ. This is not just for you, and it isn't just for now. Your children are involved. Your grandsons, granddaughters are involved. Your great-grandchildren are involved. Wheels have been put into motion through your prayers for times and places and people beyond your vision, times and places and people well beyond any present sighting of what couple prayer might mean to you today. The whole family of your son or daughter may be brought into the heart of God 30 or 40 or 50 years from now through what God will be doing in you and your marriage and family through your commitment to share your prayers together. And it goes on. It's just beautifully written. And again, this is a summary at the bottom of the page on the Couple Prayer series, Generations Will Reap What You Sow in Couple Prayer, coupleprayer.com. And so I imagine, Kenny, this was what keeps you and Signe going all the time, right, with this beautiful program.
Absolutely, it does. And to hear the couples come up to us and express to us what a difference praying together has made in their lives. We've had couples that have come up to us, couples that we know personally, that were really struggling. Father John Ricardo talks about the number of couples that were on the verge, were seeking counseling for the annulment process. And he told them, before you do that, you need to start praying together. And the way you learn how to do that is by going through this series. Like three or four couples that he had been counseling for annulment got a hold of him and said, thanks, we don't need it anymore.
Wow.
We're fine. So that's what keeps us going. And, T, it's not just, I know you and Don weren't blessed with children, but you speak often of your nieces. You speak often of the generations that when they see you and Don pray together, they notice you've got something different. Or the children of friends of yours. They all know what's at the core of your relationship, and it's our Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
Series doesn't do anything. You can listen to Signe and I talk for 6 hours or 12 hours, whatever the series is. That's not going to change anything. What changes lives is praying together. The series only helps you break down those barriers of discomfort that stand in the way of you inviting Jesus into your marriage. That's the purpose of the series, is to get you praying together. However you get there, if you think you can do it on your own, go for it. Do it today. You don't need to wait for a series. But if you find it uncomfortable, we don't know how to do this, then that's what we, you know, come and try to help you get past.
Well, it gets you into the habit and gives you ideas and a structure on how to move forward. Though, speaking of that, we only have about 5 minutes left, and I want to give you time, 4 minutes actually, because I know there's so many wonderful things coming up very quickly in 2025. Yeah. For all the information, folks, it's coupleprayer.com, by the way. So, Kenny, what's coming up?
Yeah. Okay, so starting January 13th, we'll be in Tallahassee, Florida, at the Co-Cathedral of St. Thomas More, and that'll be on Mondays for 6 weeks, from January 13 to February 17. And then on Thursdays, we'll be in Pensacola, Florida, at St. Anne in Gulf Breeze, Florida. And that'll be on Thursdays from January 16 to February 20. Child care is available for both of those six-week series. Then we've got a dinner program coming up in Sault Ste. Marie. If you just want to get a taste of what couple prayer looks like, at St. Joseph's Church in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. That one's in March 15th, so a great Lenten experience. And again, if you're in the Florida area, if you're a snowbird heading down there, or if you live in that area, or know someone that lives in the Tallahassee or Pensacola area, all the information is on our website, where you can register, the link to the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee. There's contact information there for Dr. Tom Neal, the Chief of Evangelization, and Ches Filippini, who's going the Director of Marriage and Family Life. He's going to be hosting us down there at both parishes. We are so excited to be able to bring this in a big way to an entire diocese again. The bishop, Bishop Wack, has thrown his full support behind the program at Dr. Tom's encouragement. So we just can't wait to get started. It's we're looking forward to immersing ourselves in their community down there for 6 weeks.
How long in advance do you need to be notified in order to come to a parish, Kenny, or a diocese to do the couple prayer series? What's the lead time for you usually?
Yeah, you know, right now we are also booked with two series in Lent up here in Michigan on Mondays and Tuesdays. So lead time, you should probably be, you know, talking now if you're thinking about getting on the calendar for next fall. If you'd like us to come to your parish, we'd be happy to do that. If you'd like us to come do a dinner talk, those are a little easier because they don't take 6 weeks, but we can find a date that will work. And we've had great success during dinner talks. Just a two-hour program, a dinner date night, and we give you enough to take home and start praying with each other. We've had couples come to us years after and say, we attended your dinner talk at such and such a parish, and we're still praying together. Thank you. So, again, it's not all about, you know, you got to have 6 weeks. It helps to build the habit if you do it for 42 days in a row and you get daily prayer exercises, as you know, T, to help you build that habit. But even just to attend a dinner talk can change your marriage in powerful ways.
Yep. Absolutely. It's such a great program, and it's so easy, and it really just gives you a structure. And it doesn't mean that you have to do it a particular way. The structure is understanding what it means to pray together and getting into the habit of doing it on a regular basis in order to, you know, basically get that into a regular practice on the long term. Kenny, thank you so much. Wishing you and Signe a beautiful Buon Natale, and, of course, a Happy New Year as well, and another great successful year for all that you're doing for couple prayer. Hopefully we'll be talking to you in the new year about the, especially in the local hour, about the Michigan events, but then, of course, the other events as well.
Yes. Yeah, Buon Natale to you and Deacon Dom. Love you guys.
Yes, love you too. And again, thank you for all you do. And I know that Deacon Bob, the founder of Couple Prayer, and his wife Kathy are so proud of you. Deacon Bob left us a few years ago, but we're so blessed by this beautiful ministry, Couple Prayer. Check it out, folks, coupleprayer.com. We'll be right back to wrap up a Friday morning. Stay tuned.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. On Monday, I'm going to chat with a good friend of mine, Bishop Coffey, Joseph Coffey. He is from Philadelphia and a big part of our Good News Cruise. He's a wonderful bishop and also has been in the Navy for many, many years, serving there as a chaplain. And we'll talk about his life on the high seas and what he thinks of actually cruising. It was a very different experience for him. He had not been on a cruise ship before and was simply amazed at how large the ships are and how well they function. So it'll be a fun interview on a number of levels with Bishop Coffey. And then, of course, we have our scripture verse of the week on a Monday as we move into the big Jubilee Year of Hope. We'll talk to you on a Monday. Have a great weekend. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.